Hey guys, this episode is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin, a lot like mine. I talk to you about Bevel all the time because it's so nice. It's such a wonderful product. It is chic and lovely, and it makes me feel like I'm on the cover of a GQ magazine. So go to getbevel.com today. Use code THEREAD to get 20% off your first month at getbevel.com. That's GETBEVEL.com. Go get swanky and sexy in GQ as well. Now let's start the show. Another slice of the life from Master TJ Henderson. Super intelligent, a fine young gentleman.
Nope.
10-year-old whiz kid busting high school. A pugnacious little shorty with 1,000 IQ. He's got it way with the ladies and he's keeping it real. Your favorite little study buddy, he knows the deal. Daddy sits on the kid, just the ball, very clever. How does it go?
How the fuck would I know?
Some is brainy, gifted.
Is this smart guy?
Whatever. Your brother is smart. He's a smart guy. Smart guy. Smart guy. He's a smart guy.
Jeez. I was just going to let you go on for all eternity because you seem to be enjoying the shit out of yourself.
I am Essence Atkins.
Okay. And I am Beyonce.
And this is The Read. Taj Mahri blocked me for calling him TJ Henderson.
I know. Has he unblocked you?
Probably not. It's fine. Okay. You know, I meant it with love. You know, I love Smart Guy. It's one of my favorite shows.
I can only imagine how annoying it must be to be an actor and the one character you play that everybody remembers, they just continuously.
I mean, I don't blame him for blocking me. I'm just saying.
I mean, but just like, my God. Ugh. So you were that person.
I was.
It's cool.
I have, you know, it's a
great
show.
I've been blocked by ever so many celebrities.
Oh, I mean, the list goes on.
I mean, it's really bad. But it's fine. Getting blocked for that is pretty petty.
I agree. But, you know, I don't, it's fine.
Trey Songz blocked me after I corrected him and told him that the conga was not a drum.
You know.
I mean, you're the one who put it in a song.
It's you. So you sang it.
It's not my fault.
I don't know.
I was just
hoping that you would. I was trying to help you out.
Yeah, I mean, I was just reminding you because it's like words and like some of them mean one thing and others mean a different thing, and so it's just not.
You know,
but
like
he was
there
mad.
Are bongos, there are congo.
I mean, by that point, the song was a hit, and so I had to remind him like a congo and conga, like not the same, and then like bongo, but like.
It's and
like,
you should know those things,
right? I mean, somebody in the production process should have said, "Hey, the congo, that's not a motherfucking drum, like." Let's switch this out real quick. Somebody just throw a B in there, but it didn't happen. Anyway, let's move on. What's Black Excellence this week?
So, Black Excellence this week is actually, I'm not 100% sure, but I really feel like we've talked about him on the show before. Either way, if we have, it's an update. His name is Mosiah Bridges. He is 13 years old, I believe.
Okay.
And he has a company called Mo's Bows.
Yeah, we've definitely talked about him before.
Okay. Well, at the time, Mo's Bows, I'm not sure if that was before or after they were on Shark Tank. I don't even know if I knew they were on Shark Tank.
Oh, he was on Shark Tank.
He was on Shark Tank.
Oh, shit.
You know the black man on there, Damon.
Yeah,
Damon
yeah,
John.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He actually started mentoring Mosiah after the show because he told him, I watched the clip and he told him, like, I don't think that you should have an investor right now. I think that maybe you should wait a little while and have a mentor, I guess, you know. Get
yeah.
you in the right mentor them. So at this point, 13-year-old Mo.
Okay.
His company has pulled in more than $200,000 in revenue.
All right, bye. This child.
They've gotten media attention from the likes of Forbes, O Magazine, Vogue, and Mo's Bows are currently for sale in Neiman Marcus.
Okay.
When I saw this young black man
you
walk his ass into that Neiman Marcus and straighten up his bows that were
yes!
on that shelf, I got a little misty because it was like, you know, typically you would see this young black man and his mama walk into a Neiman Marcus and there would be people walking around following and
immediately.
Watching.
Is there something we can help you with? Can we direct you to the product you want?
I wanted him to be, yes, the product that I would like to see is the one that I own. The ones
it.
Over here for sale. I would like to see how many of your white white faces have been purchasing my bows. Yes. My Neiman Marcus bows. I just love it. And so I wanted to mention that because, I don't know, like, I was having a conversation recently with my friend Kenny, and he was saying, you know, like, so many black people just believe the lie that they ain't good enough, or, you know, we just don't know our worth. I feel like it's very important for us as black people to remember our worth, and in more than just that, to remind kids, because if you watch this, 13-year-old Mosiah is not, he's not at any way, like, confused about his ability or his desire to run a business. He's like, yes, I have arrived. My shit is in Neiman's, and it's only going up from here. And it's beautiful to see, like, a young black person be like, yeah, I can do this, and I'm going to do way more. Mm-hmm. And I want all of us to feel like that. Before I move on from black excellence, I also want to mention Elliot Spillers.
Okay.
Who is the first black student government association president at the University of Alabama in 4 decades.
God, that's tragic.
So, either way. That is
really fucking sad.
It says here he's studying business management. Business. I can't even speak. But shout out to you, Elliot, for, you know, having
Yes, congratulations. I mean, and for being brave enough.
Business management.
To even want to lead that particular group of people. I don't even know what struck you, but congratulations on winning the election. And we'll talk more about colleges and the way they've been fucking up here lately.
Oh, yes. So now that black excellence and all the positivity is out of the way.
Yeah. What's been going on with the celebrities and their bullshit this week?
So I just feel like we're going to, I don't know, the snatching. I'm thinking about naming this episode maybe the March Massacre or like Bloody Thursday. Something, because we have so many wigs to peel back from the root.
All right.
And so very little time. So let's just start with let's just start with Chris Brown. Now,
hold on. Isn't Chris Brown one of the people we said we weren't doing this with?
We said we were going to talk about Chris Brown and Karrueche. And I don't want to talk about the relationship. I just want to talk about the audacity of this light-skinned nigga.
Okay.
Can we please?
All right.
All right, thanks. So if you've had your ears to, you know, the nigga streets these days.
I sure haven't.
Chris Brown is a daddy. Surprise, surprise.
But the fact that we called this shit, like easily said, I bet Chris Brown will be a daddy by the end of next year. Like, and people were like,
if he ain't a daddy already.
We said it because we knew that Chris Brown was a fuck nigga who did not know how to keep his dick to himself. Did we know it or did we know it?
So Chris Brown apparently has a 9-month-old baby with former model or something.
Some grown-ass lady my age.
Dip It Low's friends. And the baby is absolutely, you know, adorable. She looks a lot like Chris Brown. At first, he wasn't saying too much about it until young Karrueche came to address, you know, her Instagram feelings or whatever. And basically confirmed that this baby is his.
Mm-hmm.
The baby's name is Royalty, which kind of just gives you an idea of where we're at here.
Royalty Brown? Royalty. So you named your, so, but you literally named your baby Royalty.
So the baby's name is Royalty.
Royalty
is
in a check
cute.
You get for something you made.
She's super cute.
You made your baby.
She's a really cute baby. And so everybody was kind of talking about it, and you know, the blogs were circling. There was some drama with like some nigga who said that he was thought he was the father of the baby, and he was so heartbroken or something. And then the girl, the child's mother, was apparently married and like had been had kids with her husband. And when her husband found out that she was pregnant, according to him, he, you know, filed for divorce and started making all of these notions. Anyway, drama left to right. Let's get back to the point here.
Wow.
Nobody had been here. No one had heard anything from Chris.
Wow.
And it's interesting to, you know, most of his fans and people who give a shit to not hear anything from him, because usually you would have. Usually it's like 5 minutes into some shit and he's like, hear ye, hear ye.
Yes.
My light feelings are such. Like, that's usually exactly how it feels.
Chris Brown is always on time to let the rest of us know about his light-skinned emotions.
But this time he didn't say anything. So I guess, like, some of his fans were on his Instagram asking him to comment because they had gone to his girlfriend's page and left all of those baby emojis on there for a smooth 72 hours. And so they just wanted to know, like, hey, nigga, are you going to address this whole entire baby that you made or what? His comment is this. Of course, he deleted it. How about y'all kiss my ass?
There you go.
I'ma post what the fuck I want, say what I want, when I want. I don't owe you nosy motherfuckers a damn thing. This fruits five. I don't know what that means.
This fruits.
So, I don't know what that part means. All but right. I just want to address the I don't owe you nosy motherfuckers a damn thing. Mm-hmm. He just called his fans nosy.
Yeah, he did.
He, the same young man who has offered every as the world turn ass chapter of his goddamn nigga business for the past I don't even know how many years.
Say it.
Like, you are the one who told us about Karrueche, you know, sharing pussy with you.
Right.
You're the one who told us about Karrueche going to the six and riding around with Drake and his woes. You're the one who uploaded that video on Vimeo or Daily Motion or whatever talking about how you loved Rihanna and Karrueche and you wanted to date both of them, but women won't let you. You're the one who was like, you are the one
right.
who is always telling us your goddamn business. And the one time niggas are like, so is this baby yours or not? Like, now these niggas are nosy?
Right.
How dare you? Like, how dare you address? It'd be one thing if it was TMZ. It'd be one thing if, like, Oprah was calling you, asking you your business. But your same ass fans that you are always smacking sideways with some surprise ass drama are asking you about this baby and now they're nosy? Nigga, you got some whole entire nerve.
I can't believe Chris Brown is alienating the literally only people who are still in his fucking corner, because the adults who even like Chris Brown's music are like, I cannot put up with this nigga while he's doing all this fuck shit. Like, I can't even deal with Chris Brown's personal life and how bad he is at it.
When he's not singing about, like, you know,
hoes
coming in somebody's eye and, like, ripping your weave out and setting it on fire. Like, I have already talked about how I don't understand this new age R&B thug.
And the saddest part of this is there's a 9-month-old, 10-month-old baby somewhere named Syndication Chick who is just like,
are you out of your whole entire mind?
Your mother a woman who was married and had kids and then cheated on her husband with Chris Brown and had you. And your daddy is Chris Brown.
Nothing else needs to be said.
Like, just go ahead and send up a prayer for this baby. Like, I don't understand why everybody is not covering this child in a 24-hour. Like, the saints need to be on it, because clearly this little girl is going to have a lot of trouble.
Oh, she's so cute.
Bless her heart.
Either way, I just felt like, nigga, if the baby is yours, we didn't even need, like, I'm not even sure why
this is even out. Right.
But it's just hilarious to me that finally, and you were just on the radio talking about, I'm having a baby. I wanted Rihanna and Cruz to have my baby. I love babies. I just don't want to get married. I just live where I'm on the baby. Like, right. And you knew that you had one.
You knew then that you had one.
And apparently Karrueche did it. So, you know,
I hate to find out that my man had a baby on Twitter. But to be fair, Karrueche, you have had 968 warnings. You're right.
We're done.
Let's just move on.
Because we tried.
We did.
So, do you want to talk about somebody who owes a whole bunch of money, or do you want to talk about some black ass shit? We're talking about both of them, but which do you want to do?
Well, I still have to do my taxes, so I don't want to talk about nobody owing money. Do not want.
So Angie Stone got into it, right?
Bitch, no, we won't. No, the fuck, we will not talk about Angie Stone picking up this fucking poker and beating the dog shit out of her grown ass daughter. We're not doing that. We won't.
I just...
How does this happen?
So Angie Stone, for the white people listening, Angie Stone is an R&B and soul singer.
Yes.
You know, she's had lovely hits such as Brown Sugar. Wait, no, that's not...
No, that's not it. Brother.
That's it. My brother.
Brother.
That's
it's just
his
brother. Yes.
Okay. She also sang. Oh, that's it. She also sang my girlfriends. They threw thick and
thin. I just realized that was her. My God. Wow.
Well, I hope that shit stays in syndication so she can pay, to post bail and her for her daughter to get some new teeth. As far as from when I read this shit, she was still locked up and her daughter's teeth were gone.
My nigga, do you know how mad you have to be to take somebody's teeth out?
We have to tell the story.
Oh, there's a story.
Angie Stone. Apparently, the story goes like this. She and her daughter Diamond Stone.
Why? Stay away.
I think Diamond is 30.
So,
Angie Stone, I believe, is 53.
So, 30 years ago, Angie Stone gave birth to somebody, and you said, you know what would be a good name? Diamond Stone. Like, this was really the precursor to Northwest.
I don't know. Yeah, it's pretty bad. But it's not...
Diamond Stone? Diamond... Really?
Either way. So, Diamond and her mother were arguing. I just want you to know that this is the blackest goddamn dramatic-ass sad story that I have read, like pretty much all
year. Did you laugh or no?
That's not the point.
Okay.
But it's, like, it is black as fuck. And from watching R&B Divas, like, I already know, like, as a cheetah woman, like, Angie Stone is just, like, a lot. But...
Okay.
So the story goes that they got into an argument because Angie wanted Diamond to clean her room and to get her kids who were reportedly running around out of control and half naked.
Okay.
Throughout Angie's house. Diamond is 30. Her mother hit her in the face. Mm-hmm. Apparently, they got into a heated argument.
Okay.
They've argued on R&B Divas before, too. So, it was just kind of like, oh, I can see this.
Yeah.
They were arguing, and at some point, Angie picked up a metal jewelry box or jewelry stand or something and hit Diamond in the face.
Oh, I thought it was a poker stick.
No.
I was like, that's a pretty damn good hit to knock out somebody's fucking teeth.
She knocked out like her two front teeth. And Jesus. From there, I think they like that's where the story goes two ways. I think Angie is trying to say that she ran and her daughter was still trying to whoop that ass, which I mean,
what if you knock out my fucking teeth? I have nothing else to lose.
Needs whooping.
Like my two front teeth. Yeah, bitch, I'm coming for you.
Now here's the gag.
The whole fucking story is not the gag.
So apparently Diamond's teeth fell out because they have been rotting. And she admitted that and said that they could have been fixed had she gotten a root canal, but because of her mother, I guess it's a done deal. Something like that. But they have pictures of, the teeth or lack thereof.
Do they look rot?
They look pretty big, yeah.
Let me see.
No, I don't think you want
to. I know, I love seeing gross stuff like that.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know, let me see.
You're like Dennis the Menace.
Is it like a big black hole?
No, it's not like a big black hole, but it's pretty fucked up.
There's no blood.
There's no blood, but
her lip is ashy. Damn.
It literally feels like the teeth were like holding. They were like Mufasa. Yeah. Like they were like holding on for like their
last
bit.
You can tell.
And that jewelry stand was just like, well, that's all I had left. Like
the only part of her tooth that was healthy is still stuck in her fucking gum.
Right, it's still there.
The rest of it was like, all right, girl, well, that's our time.
I mean, a dentist was gonna have to rip that out and do something about it anyway. But
oh,
it's
you
still
can get
like
fakes. You'll be fine.
Fortunate that this mother and daughter are fighting like this. But I'm just like, girl, you're 30 at your mama's house and she has to come in and tell you to clean your room and get your kids from running around. Can you imagine? Angie Stone is at home with her 30-year-old daughter's kids running around naked, probably, sticking their hands in the Kool-Aid and just like
squirting Capri Sun on each other.
And like knocking over plants and pushing
peanut butter in their diapers. Kids are terrible.
They're pretty bad.
Whatever you can think of, kids can can think of something at least 10 times worse and do it in half the time you would expect.
That's unfortunate as fuck, bro.
You can't deal with these, especially if they fucking toddlers. Look, I would wheel my daughter up too, like, come get these little niggas. You already know what the fuck time it is. Y'all already staying in my house. I'm 100% sure this 30-year-old daughter don't have a job. So the least you can do is clean up.
I think she also wants to be a singer or maybe a rapper. She wants to work in music as well. But I don't know if she like, I don't really know. I didn't really
Everybody wants to work in music. Everybody wants to work in entertainment and acting.
Oh, everyone has a hair company, Portia.
Everybody wants to, girl. Everybody wants to.
Let's go to the studio and drop some beats.
Everybody wants to be in the industry, but don't nobody want to work. Girl, get you a job. What about the money? If you ain't got a job, then you need to be keeping the damn house clean. And that is an unwritten rule. Everybody knows that. You grown as fuck, laid up in somebody else's house, and they paying all the bills, and you can't clean up and keep your damn kids under control? That's the bare fucking minimum. I wish somebody would pay my rent and bills, cell phone, and shit, and be like, oh, bitch, all you got to do is keep shit clean. I'll be one cleaning ass bitch. Hell yeah. Put me on my maid uniform. I sure will be in here cleaning up this kitchen, baseboards and everything, bitch.
Well, they have vacuuming like a really dark history, bitch. And it's just like they, you know, and she feel like her mama wasn't there for her when she was touring.
If it was that dark of a history, then why are you in her house?
They are broken. Because, girl, they got to be that thing.
Well, bitch, I'm just saying.
I mean, girl, goddamn.
I mean, but look, dead ass, if you stand in somebody's house and can't clean up, then
like the least you could, I mean, if you can't clean up, at least get your kids and put some damn Pampers on them and tell them to sit the hell down somewhere.
Not saying your mama should have, you know, knocked you in the fucking face.
Yeah, no excuse. I'm just saying, but like we all need to look at what's going on here.
I understand being friend, because don't nobody want to come home every day and look at their house toe the fuck up and kids screaming and shit, and you just got home and all you want to do is relax, and your grandkids running around here acting crazy, and your daughter in her room on the phone and shit, eating Cheetos and shit like ain't nothing going on. Oh no, bitch, get your ass up Andrew's and come get favorite. These raggedy ass chilling. I understand. It's not right, but I get it.
Speaking of kids, I just want to briefly address this clip of Northwest paparazzi. So a lot of you took that a different way than I did. I think the paparazzi also took a different way than I did.
Okay.
Because people seem to be thinking that she gets it from her mom. Oh, look at her stopping and doing like a little pose. Because I don't know if North is like not neat or if that's just because she's a toddler or what. She did have a little knee where it was giving you very much like, oh, you know, like hello. It was giving you stance.
Yeah.
You know.
But it didn't look deliberate.
But it didn't look deliberate. It looked more like a 2-year-old wondering why 5 million people with cameras yes. are standing on the other side of this glass and then going
right
to it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I felt kind of like, I'm not gonna say I felt bad, but I thought that it wasn't very nice for people to be like, oh, why did Kim leave her baby again? Because she probably felt... No, honestly, though, I mean, she didn't get on the fucking elevator. She took a couple steps and turned around. She probably felt like the baby was going to follow her. But when you have all of these people going like this to the glass, right. that baby turned around and was like, oh, my God.
whatever.
And it took a while before she turned around. And then even when she ran back over and, like, adjusted her little coat so they could continue taking the photo.
Right. You see, she made sure they still got their pictures.
She didn't even, like, Northa didn't even look at her mama when she got back. She was just stunned, like, you niggas do this for a living.
Right.
Okay. Right. Well, that's dumb, but all right. She just like looked like she was just looking like, wow, like flabbergasted.
Exactly. It didn't look to me like she was posing at all. Mm-mm. It looked like nobody was holding her hand, and so she saw an opportunity to stop and turn around, and so she did, which is what the fuck toddlers do. It's not hard to distract their ass.
And was just like,
so she was just like, so what's going on over here? Who the fuck are y'all? Like, she looked puzzled as shit. And you see,
North wanted to just be like, really?
So this is really,
I am a whole baby.
Y'all
like, this is what it is.
I'm congregated here today for this, to take my photo. Okay.
Even when her mama grabbed her hand and started, like, you have to, I watched it a million times, mm-hmm. not gonna lie. Even when her mother grabbed her hand and kind of tugged her to come, she, like, was still looking like, all right. Like, she finally walked away. She just looked at them like, y'all are so dumb.
Like, and still here. That's where that's so crazy.
Well, I just got my coat on and my little boots. I mean, if this is what you want.
Low key, I feel like Kim left her behind on purpose just to get pictures and video. Then why come back and take your time getting her ready again?
Because I don't mind the pictures, but I really don't think that she expected that the baby was going to stop. Because it really, like, she stopped when she let her hand go before they were doing this. And it was this that made the baby turn around. But I'm not saying, like, I just don't think it's fair to be like, oh, you forgot your baby.
Well, no, I don't think you forgot her because it took all of 5 seconds.
But you, of course, don't mind that they're taking all of these photos. Right. Like, I watched a clip today, actually, of... I think they were walking into like Louis Vuitton and Selena Gomez was walking out or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. But the pandemonium, like people were literally falling over. Some Asian woman was trampled. Like it was like madness for these two niggas looking like, you know, like Yu-Gi-Oh masters or some shit like.
Kim and Kanye?
Yeah. Like it was this whole thing and they don't care.
Okay. I can't even fathom falling out for Kim or Kanye because what's so great about either?
It's not really not falling out. I'm talking about like the paparazzi were like falling over each other trying to get pictures.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like, sorry. I thought you meant random people.
Not Michael Jackson, bitch.
I was like, so niggas just lost it behind a fucking Kardashian.
The paparazzi were running around shoving each other. Falling all over each other and stuff for photos.
They just trying to get a check. And, you know, nobody can blame them. Them people are worth money. I get it.
Speaking of a check.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So, Robin Thicke and Pharrell Williams owe a nice check.
Oh, I thought you was going to talk about how Miss Tina got the paparazzi together for taking pictures of Blue Ivy. I was going to say, there's a family who values their child.
See, there's a difference.
And her privacy.
Not only is she monitored. But her grandmother, her praying grandmother,
come on,
came through and was like, what you will not do.
That's it.
Tonight is film this baby. Mm-hmm. And if you want a box, I can slide
right
these sleeves right up to my elbows, honey. And I will wax that
Houston,
ass right
Texas.
Here in the middle of Los
I'll
Angeles. So if you want to get fucked up, you can. Like, yes. She didn't say all of
and
this.
And then her white man came and opened the door for her. And she went back inside the restaurant. Like, I'm not
she
mad.
She told them
Ms.
to have a little class.
It.
That's yeah. And you know what? And she, that whole family, when they're ready to be sound, like when they want to show us Blue, when they want to give us moments with Blue, they give it to us.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, North is over here like, my God, who are all of these niggas? Like, can I just get a Scully? May I have something to cover my head? It is cold. Pharrell Williams and Robin Thicke lost their lawsuit. I don't know if y'all remember this, but they were sued by Marvin Gaye's estate over the very creepy song Blurred Line.
Creepy does not even begin.
We don't even need to relive that. But
that is the date rape.
If you've ever heard Blurred Lines, how could you not have? It sounds a whole lot like a really good song called Got to Give It Up by Marvin Gaye. And, you know, if you've ever been to, like, a black barbecue, a family reunion, you've probably heard that song
Absolutely.
A million times. Done the electric slide to it. It's a classic. They're literally, like, the same song, like, sound.
I can't believe they even tried to argue that it wasn't. Like, bitch, it's blatant, though.
It is
so motherfucking obvious that y'all use the exact same shit for this Blurred Lines.
Did you... know that Robin Thicke admitted to being high when he recorded it on Vicodin?
I was going to say, did you read like the testimony that they provided? Because some of it is crazy. Robin Thicke was like, well, really, it was mostly
all for
real.
False.
Like, oh yeah, white man, it got real, huh?
I was wasted. Like, let me just be honest with you. I was so fucked up and I didn't produce it.
I mean, and honestly, you said Marvin Gaye and that's a black thing and I just kind of let Pharrell do it and then T.I. showed up and the next thing I know, it's a hit.
And it was just crazy. And, you know, I really didn't even want anything to do with it. But, you know, my name was on it.
Right, and
so
I don't remember details because Coke.
$7.3 million is how much they owe.
Isn't God good? Because I think the song itself only made like $8 million.
Well, I'm reading that they earned close to $5 million each.
Oh, did they?
Pharrell got $5.2 million, Robin Thicke got $5.6 million, and T.I. got $704,000.
God damn. Woo!
While you following this white bitch around trying to approve her.
So yeah, I mean it's only a verse, so I understand because Pharrell produced it. Well, produced it. Pharrell lifted it from Marvin Gaye and I guess changed the lyrics. Did Pharrell write it?
That's what Robin Thicke said. Okay. He was like, This is a quote. The reality is that Pharrell had the beat and he wrote almost every single part of the song.
Okay. All right.
$7.3 million is how much they owe the Marvin Gaye
estate. Well, good luck dividing it up. And which one of y'all is cutting the check? Who's responsible? Do we know that?
They said that. Nona Gaye, Marvin's daughter, said, right now I feel free. Free from Pharrell Williams and Robin Thicke's chains and what they tried to keep on us and the lies that were told.
Girl, not to mention free from that terrible song.
Girl, calm down. Like, take the money and like, their chains. Girl, like, all
right. I mean, clearly Marvin Gaye's family was not, like, oppressed behind this shit. Just enjoy your extra paycheck.
Right. That is a nice piece of paper.
Maybe if they had not taken her daddy's song and then done something so awful with it, she would not
maybe
have...
Maybe she wouldn't have minded.
Maybe she wouldn't have been, like, so dramatic in her choice of words if the song was not so bad. Because it's terrible.
Or if, you know, you just, like, did the legal thing and paid.
Right. Or you if know, you just said, hey, girl, we love the beat. Can we snatch it? Thanks. And then just give them their fucking money. Y'all gonna learn.
Madonna.
Okay. No. 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 Is there someone else?
There's no one else. So Madonna recently had an interview with Out Magazine, and I find it very interesting that she said it in this particular magazine. She said this: women are still the most marginalized group. They're still the group that people won't let change. You must fit into this box. You must behave this way, dress this way. You're still categorized. You're either a virgin or a whore, blah, blah, blah. Where it gets interesting is gay rights are way more advanced than women's rights. People are a lot more open-minded to the gay community than they are to women, period. It's moved along for the gay community, for the African-American community, but women are still just trading on their ass. To me, the last great frontier is women.
Yeah, that makes a whole lot of goddamn sense.
So
Patricia
Madonna,
Arquette.
As you know, we mentioned with, or as you mentioned with Patricia Arquette, first of all, I would like to acknowledge that this is exactly why your ass fell off the stage. This is exactly, like, I don't know how many times we have to do this back and forth with you. Yes, you are Madonna. Yes, you are this legendary pop star or whatever. But we're, like, I'm tired. Like, you are way too old. This isn't Ace Ventura. Right. When nature calls, nobody's looking for an old white bat. So shut your motherfucking ass up. Like, right. Please. First of all, what you and bitches who say things like this or think things like this are forgetting, and I don't know if you said this, but I'm pretty sure you did.
Man.
That there are women that are gay and black.
Come on.
So, like, what the fuck do you think they're going through, girl? And for you to say that people are more open-minded to the gay community than they are.
That's where I was
women?
Just like, oh, all right. So this dizzy bitch has completely motherfucking lost it. Is it illegal to be a woman in this country? And I forgot. Like, is it illegal, honestly, to be a woman in this country? Is it, do women routinely, like, are laws created to ensure that women die? What the fuck is she talking about? What does she even mean right
what
now?
What are you talking about?
So women are just what?
Because women can get married, except for, oh, the gay ones.
like when she says, it's like she thinks white women are persecuted.
Are women.
In some way.
Like,
are all
feminism
women?
Is white women. Shut up. No one asked you a question. Okay? Be quiet. I'm so tired. She like apple cinnamon oatmeal.
My whole thing about, like, I feel like I really literally just did this with Patricia Arquette. So I just don't have it to give Madonna because it's like,
it's literally
word
like
for
she
word,
was trying
the exact
to
same
say,
thing.
Like, piggyback off of that and be like, hey, I have feelings too and I didn't fall.
I mean, but see, like, the thing is, obviously, there are things about being a woman that are unfair in this country and, you know, like,
100%.
Of course, it's not like women's equality is, it's not where it should be. But to say that women in this country are doing worse than gays and blacks is just like, is so fucking stupid. I just want to throttle the shit out of her. And it's all these white girls who grew up in the 80s who idolize her and act like Madonna is just this legend and can't be touched. Like, maybe so, but the bitch is 50 something and calling her white son a nigga on Instagram and talking about how blacks and gays have it easier in America than fucking white girls.
Well, I hope all of those blacks and certainly all of those gays that have been keeping your old cottage cheese face ass name alive for however long, I hope all of those gays are on your side, and I hope they also have open minds to you and women just like you, you dumb old badger.
Like, this was just so fucking
stupid. She's such a dumbass.
And I feel like she is just at this point trying so hard to keep her name in the news that it just doesn't even matter what stupid ass thing she says. Like, she just doesn't want y'all to forget. Like, okay, girl. All right. You're Madonna. Yes, girl.
Congratulations.
Yes, girl. We understand. Yes.
Until the end of time.
Yes, girl.
But
you're the
shut
one.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that's enough out of you now, because now you sound like a goddamn idiot. So go on and hush somewhere. Sit the fuck down. Or continue to get cussed out, bitch. It's up to you.
So, well, I think for this week, that about wraps up. Bitch, you guessed it! You thought I forgot. You was wrong.
Hey guys, this episode of The Read is brought to you by our good friends over at Loot Crate. Would you consider yourself a geek, gamer, or a pop culture nerd?
Yes.
Yeah, we know. Then this is the subscription box for you. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items of gamer and pop culture items like vinyl figurines, comics, shirts, and more. Kid Fury's going to tell you a little bit more about it.
So yes, Loot Crate is a really awesome subscription service, and it's, you know, another goodie box situation. Mm-hmm. I've actually known about them for quite some time, and because I'm a huge nerd, that's how I've known about them. And basically, yeah, they send you, like, each month they have a different theme, and they send you a box of all kinds of really, really cool stuff. Like Crystal said, they can be anything from toys, t-shirts, I've gotten socks, I've gotten really cool limited edition comic books in there, pins, keychains, things for your shoes. You never really know, but it's always really, really cool things, and a lot of times exclusive things you really can't find anywhere else. So go over to lootcrates.com/read, that's R-E-A-D, and enter code READ, R-E-A-D, to save $3. You know, you have to remind them.
You do.
$3 on any new subscription. If you're anything like me and you like, you know, comics or games or pop culture movies and things like that, Loot Crate is definitely something you should check out.
Yes, guys, LOOTCRATE.com/READ for $3 off, and enjoy Loot Crate. Guys, don't forget to check out our awesome sponsors over at NatureBox. If you head to naturebox.com/TheRead, you can get a free trial box of delicious snacks. NatureBox has over 100 nutritionist-approved snacks, something for everyone, all with zero artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners, no trans fat, and no high fructose corn syrup. Lord knows life can get really busy and you may not have the time to make smart snacking choices, so make sure you have something on hand when you're on the go from NatureBox. And Kid Fury knows he loves some of those snacks himself.
Yes, from cashews to sunflower seeds, granola to nom noms, or as I call them, nom nom noms. And also plantain chips for, you know, the Caribbeans.
Yeah. Sure.
There are no hydrogenated oils, no artificial colors, sweeteners, and flavors, no added sulfites, and less than 200 calories per 30-gram serving. We're talking about very distinct, delicious, smart snacks. I've seen lots of y'all getting into it. I know what time of year it is. I'm on the same wave. Nature Box is something that you can definitely get into if you like to snack on the go, at home, in front of Empire. Get into it. NatureBox.com/3. Get your free trial. You're gonna love it.
Yep. NatureBox.com/READ. And now let's get back to the show.
So, we're back.
Yes, we are. And it's time to do our listener letters. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Send your questions to asktheread@gmail.com and you may just end up on the show. Now, let's see where we're going to start this week. All right. So this is a question that I personally do not like answering because I feel like the answer is extremely obvious. But I understand it may not be that way to everybody. So I'm going to do it on the show because a lot of people have the question, and see if you and I can come up with an answer.
Oh, God.
Okay. Don't sound nervous. This is going to be dope. Oh. Hey, Crystal and Kid Fury. My name is Afro Samurai. All right.
Okay.
I'll try my best not to write how I talk. All right. Clearly, I didn't have time to edit this week.
It would have been speak.
But... I am a straight male, and everything I kind of know about the lesbian and gay community, I have learned from y'all. I have a really close friend who is a lesbian. I mean, she is a real lesbian. She doesn't like dudes. She doesn't date studs or use straps or dildos. She dated one guy, but he was kind of feminine, and it didn't last long. She has been dating this transgender woman for like 5 months now. Like, the chick is using hormone pills and plans to have a sex change. When my friend talks to me about her, I want to ask her about it. I hope I'm not being disrespectful or anything. I just don't know why, and that's why I'm asking. If you don't like men or dating women that look like men, why talk to someone who is trying to change into a man? It makes no sense to me. Like, that's a life-changing decision if you are a lesbian. Does that make her straight if she is with someone that will become a male? I mean, is she talking about having a sex change so she will be a full man? I guess my question is, should I bring it up to my friend? Should I ask her what's up or what is going on? Do y'all think I'm out of line? Thanks, Afro. So, listen, I really appreciate the demographic of this show that may be a little embarrassed to tell their friends that they listen to two gay people talking about pop culture. Like, I understand some of you
my girlfriend put you on...
Every single time, like seriously, 8 out of 10 straight men that we meet say, I learned about y'all from my girlfriend. Like, they always bring up the girlfriend or wife. But anyway, and I just, so listen, there's a lot wrong with the words you chose to use in this letter, but I understand you don't know.
Yeah, because I was confused for quite a bit.
Right. A lot of the letter is confusing because you're not even using like the correct terminology. And I understand that maybe you don't know it, but I think what we need to do first is just kind of recap exactly what it is you're asking and then talk about how you should be able to go about having this conversation with your friend.
I mean, can we start with the black bottom line, which is that this ain't none of his goddamn business?
I mean, sweetie, so first and foremost, who your friend fucks and what they have between their legs is literally none of your goddamn business. Never has been, never will be. And there's no one better to ask these questions to than your friend. You're asking us and we don't know shit about you. Like, I don't see why you wouldn't. These kinds of questions, I don't understand why you wouldn't go to her about it. I really don't see why something this personal, you would decide to come to us about this shit first. But first things first, second, there's no such thing as like a quote unquote real lesbian. You can be a lesbian and still have slept with men in the past or used dildos or strap-ons or whatever the fuck. Those things don't mean that you're not a lesbian. And based off your letter, I think you're saying that your friend is dating a trans man, right, and not a trans woman. So an easy way to remember that is to think of transitioning, like
into
trans man, trans woman. So just think about it that way, and then maybe you won't use the wrong pronoun for these people. And what was this other one? Why, if you don't like men or dating females that look like men? Oh, I definitely changed that to women. Why talk to someone who is trying to change it to a man? Sexuality is not what a lot of you seem to think that it is. It's,
oh my God.
Sexuality does not exist in this vacuum of yes or no or black and white or this is it and this is what is
it
not
is
it.
It's the biggest gray area.
It changes. It develops. People can feel one way about sexuality and then feel a totally different way. You can have the same sexuality. You could have no sexuality. You could just be the type of person who's like, I do whatever the fuck I want to do and y'all ain't gonna do nothing but be mad about it, which is what I say. Like, you could have... You could be anywhere on the spectrum of sexual identity. Just because you say that you're a lesbian or you have used the term lesbian before does not mean that you have sworn in blood to only eat pussy for the rest of your life. And at no point are you allowed to do anything else because then you're breaking the rules of sexuality. That's not how this shit works. If your friend is in love with somebody who is a trans man and she's previously identified as a lesbian, then it doesn't really matter how she's going to identify now. It's none of your concern.
And why do you care?
Well... I mean, I understand
why
having...
Why do you even fucking care? Like, why do people have to make such a big deal out of sexuality all the time? Unless that woman is fucking children or porcupines, I don't understand what the fuck... Like, let her do whatever the fuck she wants to do.
What I've noticed about straight people is a lot of them seem to be so obsessed with, like, what is it? Like, just tell me what the name of it is.
Oh my
tell
God.
Me what you are. Tell me what this is. Tell me what's going on. Explain
Every
to me who you are
like
and why
label.
You feel this way. Right.
And I have to answer to you and explain to you what's going on over here and how this works. The fuck I do.
Sure the fuck don't. Some of y'all need to check where you come from in life and how what you are has always been considered the default and how your point of view might be offensive to the rest of us.
And guess what? There is a wonderful...
I wasn't going to guess.
There is a wonderful, wonderful friend. Her name is Google. And you can okay. go to her.
I thought you were going to say Jesus.
Him too.
Yes, because there's none like him.
But Google is someone you can go to at literally any time Come of on. The day.
Say it.
And ask her your question. It's so good. You can actually have Siri ask Google for you. If you don't even know, because mm-hmm. I understand a lot of y'all don't know Google like that. You know, you don't, you may be, you know, not too good around new people like that.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't want to introduce yourself. You can ask Siri to ask Google your question for you, and an answer will be provided.
In your own bedroom within like 30 seconds.
You don't even have
to. The answers are right there.
No one even has to know that you're asking. It is between you and Google. That's how right. good a friend she is. And I wish that y'all would get to know her.
But falling in love with somebody who is a trans man when previously you thought you were a lesbian or identified as a lesbian doesn't mean that it's some life-changing decision. It doesn't mean that her whole world is upside down and she doesn't know how the fuck she's gonna sleep at night because shit is just so brand new now. And
right.
Like, it's not like, it's not what you seem to think it is. Maybe right. one day if you Either woke up lost. Attracted to niggas, you would be like, what the fuck happened?
Oh my God.
Need some dick in my ass. Like, maybe you would panic.
Bust, please. All right.
Where are the boys?
We went too loud.
Maybe you would have a panic attack, but some of us are just way more chill about sexuality. It's just not that big of a deal. You just kind of go with the flow, and it is what it is. And you don't have to be worried about whether she's straight now or is she still a lesbian or anything else, because unless she's offering to share her vagina with you, what she does with it will never be any of your business. And that's really it. So please refrain from sending us this sort of extraordinarily.
Just ask Google.
Like,
there have to be like forums for that kind of thing.
I don't even want to go through and do like line by line all the words that you should have used and didn't, or all the words that you should like never use again. I don't even want to do that because there's no point in like sitting here and dissecting this letter. But the general gist of it is respect people for their differences and don't worry about shit that ain't none of your fucking business.
And MYOB.
My oh right
that's
yes
right.
I mean but that's
kindergarten time
all the time M-I- so let's are you anything
OB.
Else okay our next letter says I think this one is from well, Sarah's a pretty yeah this is from Sarah and it says hi Kid Fury and Crystal. I've been seeing this great 30-year-old guy for about a month now. I'm 23. He's fun and very sweet to me, but I'm not sure if he considers me his girlfriend or just his PYT hookup.
All right.
He has introduced me to his friends and talks to me on a daily basis all day long, and we usually hang out once a week after a night of wine and great lovemaking at my apartment. I have been burned by fuckboys before.
Come on, 50 Shades of Cold 45. That was rude. I don't know how you like
what
that.
What is wrong with you?
I didn't mean it.
That was mean.
Yeah, that was rude.
How
I'm
can
sorry.
I tell if this is a relationship versus a long-term hookup situation? He has never been anything but kind and sweet, but I've been burned before, so I tend to expect this. I tend to expect this to run its natural fuckboy course and for him to eventually stop talking to me. Am
oh,
I bringing
bro.
Past relationship wounds into my new
yeah,
relationship? Should I calm the fuck down? Thanks again.
Yeah, you should.
Love you. Really?
This salad is delicious.
Okay. What about the letter, though?
I just, you know, I get it being, like, extremely pessimistic myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, dating niggas is just... It's
stressful.
That's a risk you got to be willing to take.
It sounds difficult.
You never know.
It sounds like there's
some
a lot
of games. Some fuckboys are really, you know, they're so trained.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been doing it, you know, since, like, I don't know, preschool. So... they can hide it in that little honeymoon phase, you know,
right.
the first however many weeks when y'all are just madly, you know, head over heels in love with each other. And then, you know, a new dress comes up on an Instagram boutique and some bitch buys it and wears it at the club. And then that's your relationship.
I mean, but you and this young man. Well,
but that's not to say that that's going to happen here. You just, I guess you need to have enough confidence in yourself to know that, you know, if something does go left, well, all right. You know, I'll be straight by myself mm-hmm. and somebody else will treat me well. And you're 23, right?
Yeah, you're 23. Girl. And it's only been a month. I don't understand why you're putting so much thought into it. If y'all have only, you said y'all hang out once a week, so y'all have hung out four times and you are already stressed out about
23.
Whether this is going to be a relationship or a long-term hookup situation.
I remember being 23 and being like, oh, I've met someone. It has been 3 weeks. I wonder what our children would look
like. This is why grown people be like this. Do not date people in their early 20s because y'all.
And it was only a smooth 4 years ago. And it's like, girl, what was
what
that?
Was I, what was I even on? Because that was some bullshit back in the day. Like, just relax. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, worst case scenario, if he turns out to be shit in a couple of weeks, you got plenty of time to find somebody else.
You can't tell. I don't think there's any way for us to tell you 1 month in whether this is going to be a relationship or just a fuck buddy type of, you know, situation. I would just say make sure that you remember all the lessons you learned from the dirty niggas before and apply those to the now, because a lot of us get out of these relationships and remember the good and forget just how fucked up that motherfucker treated us. You need to hold on to that anger so, just a little bit, like not the anger, but remember the shit that he did to make you feel away, and watch out for those signs in this next relationship. It's nothing though that we could say, you know, 100% this person, just avoid him if he does this or doesn't do that.
And please don't let your little bit of paranoia or whatever reflect its way into your actual relationship and your time together. You know how some people sometimes start to be feeling ways.
Yeah.
And you don't see the little three bubbles in your iMessage and all of a sudden that nigga's with that bitch. Just don't do it. Because even
really
if he
be stressed
is,
out.
You always have to hold. You have to be. What do you have to do? GLR.
Come on.
Get like Ree.
All the time. Make sure you have yourself together and be worried about your motherfucking self first. It's plenty of niggas out here. Let me explain something to you.
Because guess what?
Even if this 30-year-old don't work out, it is another nigga coming. Like, miss one, next 15, one coming. Another nigga okay. will be around shortly, right. girl, before the fucking sun sets. Here to show you what he has and whether he's worth it. So don't worry about it. Like, if it's not going to work, then it's just not going to work. Y'all seem stressed. Like, if you don't get married by 28, you're going to die or some shit. You'll be all right. Just live your life. Give yourself time to grow up and figure it out. What the fuck is the
just
rush?
Live your life.
Everybody wants to be married so bad. What the fuck is the deal? Calm down.
Getting your paper.
We're not doing that. Do you have any other advice?
Get like Ree. Royalty came in and was debuted, and Rihanna said, "Here's a snippet." Like, Rihanna's the best.
She keeps on too. She's not gonna fucking let up.
Anyway,
I'm waiting on this
letter?
Album. Okay, so good luck to you and all that. Do you want to do one more or? No.
We can go ahead and move on.
Okay. Yeah, let's wrap it up. Send your questions to asktheread@gmail.com and we'll be right back.
Hey guys, this episode is also being brought to you by Retail Me Not. And you hear advertisers giving out promo codes for stuff on radio, on podcasts, all the time. Online codes and coupons are great for saving at stores where you shop, but nobody has the time to look for them or remember to use them. That's why you need the app from Retail Me Not. With Retail Me Not, get thousands of coupons from 50,000 stores all in one place, like Kohl's, Domino's, Best Buy, which is a personal favorite, and more, with amazing deals like 60% off, free shipping, and free gifts with purchase. Who doesn't love a free gift?
Everyone loves free stuff. And you can get a text invite to download the free Retail Me Not app right now for your smartphone. Just text READ to 42767, then redeem coupons right from your phone whenever you're checking out. It is literally that simple. Retail Me Not is the best way to have thousands of coupons on your phone so you can save money. Stop what you're doing and text READ to 42767. You'll get a text with a link to download it right there on your phone. Never forget another coupon again with Retail Me Not by texting READ to 42767. Message and data rates may apply. For terms and privacy, visit retailmenot.com.
Let's get back to the show. So now it's time for the read.
It is. Do you want to go first this week?
I sure do.
Okay. Since you would not let me go first at the live show last week with your rude ass.
And I'm glad I fucking didn't.
Whatever.
Because what? You had a word.
Anyway.
You had like a passionate word.
Go on ahead.
You know, there was like vigor and
I just got mad, like, so angry that when I heard Madonna's comments, I was just like, bitch, but we've already done this. Like, you late with this shit. We've already explained it.
So, there is a show on MSNBC called Morning Joe. I've never heard of this show before. But apparently it's just a morning talk show with some white people talking about, I don't know, kicks, corn flakes. I don't know what they talk about.
I don't know what this is.
But recently they discussed the video from University of Oklahoma with the Sigma Alpha Epsilon boys chanting their racism. If you haven't heard, there was a video. I think this is part of your read.
Yeah, I'll get to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you want to just go first then?
And I mean, can just, if you want.
Actually, you go ahead.
Are and you I'll sure?
just Yeah. That way we could just cover both bases. I feel like you should go first, and then I can just go ahead.
You know how sometimes we're both like, let's just cuss out on the same topic.
Right. But I feel like yours is almost like a precursor to...
Perhaps so. I think so. Because I'm not sure who you are talking about. But if you haven't heard, like Kid Fury was saying at OU this past weekend, the members of SAE, which is a fraternity, were caught on tape singing this extremely racist song. I mean, it was just the absolute worst shit. And it went something like...
There'll never be a nigger in SAE.
Oh, there'll never be a nigger in SAE.
You can hang them from a tree.
But he'll never sign with me.
There'll never be a nigger in SAE.
So the fallout from this was basically instant. The tape went viral on Sunday, I think. And by that evening, the SAE National Office had already announced that it was going to close the chapter at OU. But that didn't even matter because the president of OU was like, not only am I closing this chapter, every last one of you overprivileged motherfuckers has 48 hours to get the fuck out of my house. Y'all need to go take them goddamn Greek letters off that shit. Every last one of y'all don't know where y'all gonna go, but get the fuck up out of here. Like, David Boren closed the chapter at OU, closed the house, said that as long as he's president of OU, SAE is not coming back. And two students have already been expelled, and he is not done. Like, he's made it clear that he's going to identify every cracker on the bus and bring the hammer down in whatever way he thinks is important. So this was obviously going to be my read this week because I'm from Oklahoma and everything about Oklahoma is so dear to me. But I want to point out before I get started that I really have tried not to talk about Oklahoma, because if there's one thing that most Oklahomans know, it is that when people leave Oklahoma, they realize how shitty it is, and then all they do is shit on it. And Oklahomans get really fucking tired of that. Like, we understand. And when I was there, it was like so maddening to always hear from people who left who were just like, how the fuck are y'all still there? Do y'all know people in other states are like free? Like, you can be outside after the sun goes down. It's amazing. And so you get so annoyed always hearing about how great it is. And I just did not want to be one of those people who leaves Oklahoma and then all you do is shit on it like you're not from there. So every time Oklahoma does something stupid, I really try not to address it on this show. Mary Fallon been acting an ass and all this shit. Fucking senators, Jim Inhofe and all that. I've been acting right, y'all. I've been keeping it fucking cute, but this is too much. So first of all, to Levi Pettit and Parker Rice, two of the whitest white names I have literally ever heard in my entire fucking life. And every other asshole on this bus, I want to say with all my heart and soul, fuck the entirety of your lives and everything you have ever and will ever represent. And since I know you didn't learn to say nigger when you showed up at the steps of SAE and knocked on the door, I'm going to also say fuck you to your raggedy ass parents who taught you this shit and your grandparents who taught them this shit. It's actually generations and generations, centuries and centuries of racism passed down throughout your family. So really, this is probably not even your fault. What you are is just the culmination of what your people have been since the dawn of history. Not to mention, y'all had the motherfucking nerve to release these bullshit apologies, and the shit was like, oh, I'm so sorry, like, we have been drinking and they taught the song to us and that's no excuse, and my family can't even stay at home anymore because
hopefully
death
the
threats
school
and,
protects us.
And I just know, I've talked to some of my friends who still have a school to go to, and they said that everyone's making fun of them on campus and people are being so mean. So just be nice to my SAE brothers. fuck every last one of you fragile porcelain motherfuckers. Don't nobody give a fuck that your racist ass family and friends are all of a sudden going through some bullshit. This is your fault. You brought it on yourself. Nobody told you to joyously. That's the thing about this fucking video. These motherfuckers get up and they are joyous about this nigger lynching song. It's a thing. Like, not only is it a thing, it's like they're excited. Like, they're going to see a nigger get lynched right now. Like,
on a Tuesday.
There is nothing that could be more fun for these boys than the idea of a black man trying to pledge their fraternity and instead getting, like, literally strung up from a tree. Are y'all thinking about the words you're using? But even, let me see, because I have a focus here, and I'm not about to get caught off track. Come on, back. Let's get one thing straight. These kids singing nigger at the top of their lungs like they're in the middle of Sunday school is disturbing as fuck. But in actuality, most black people in America already know that white people say nigger. Y'all seem to be embarrassed because you think that now we found out that you say nigger. We've been knowing that you use it in the privacy of your homes and your country clubs. We already know that y'all love using the word. The truly fucked up thing about this video is the violence that the bus full of thugs on it were so proud to celebrate. It was like you could not tell them motherfuckers. It was like whoever sang the song the loudest was going to win his next hedge fund or beat his next rape charge. You've never seen white men be so excited to talk about killing a black man. And it might be something that y'all think, oh, well, it's just a bunch of drunk ass teenagers and who even cares? It doesn't even matter. It's just a bunch of frat boys. But these SAE assholes are not just freshman idiots or boys who are being dumb who need to grow up. The racists in that motherfucking video that OU Unheard put on YouTube are gonna graduate, and they're gonna carry that attitude with them into the real world, just like they carried it with them from their raggedy ass parents' home to college. It's Thank not going that. To die Sorry, just because you graduated and grew up and got the fuck out. What's really gonna happen is those assholes, those privileged rich kids who come from privileged rich people, are gonna graduate and be senators and representatives who shape the laws that we all of us have to live by. Every last one of us has to live by the laws that these people who sing shit like hang a nigger from a tree. Like, it's not like y'all are in positions where nothing's going to happen from this. You need to understand how the racism is so deep in this society that the system y'all have set up makes sure that it gets perpetuated on and on and on. Because you know what's going to happen to these little assholes, Levi and whoever the fuck? Nothing. They're going to get kicked out of OU, and the worst thing that's going to happen to them is their degree is going to have a different name at the top of it. That's it. Nothing's going to stop these kids from succeeding in life at all. Their parents and their social community are going to make damn sure of that. They're not going to lose friends. They're not going to be ostracized. They're not going to be broke. They're not going to be homeless. They're going to say whatever the fuck they want and go viral and then go back to their regular ass lives. And that's what the fuck we are talking about when we are talking about dismantling institutional and systemic racism. When we are talking about modern racism, we are not talking about, oh, in order to be racist, then you must kill a nigga and you must, you know, say nigga and this. That's not, like, that's racist. Racism is those things, but racism is also throwing away somebody's resume who's perfectly qualified because she has a name that you consider is black. Or racist is when you live in an all-white neighborhood and a black person comes over and your dog barks at him. And your dog don't bark at nobody but black people. That's a sign that something is racist in your own motherfucking home. The problem is that you are acting like the shit that these people are doing is not going to carry on and carry on and carry on like it has been. Racism ain't never just been like, okay, well, let's stop now that the new generation has come along. Y'all act like because these old-ass racists are getting older and dying, that means shit is gonna get better. Wake the fuck up and look at what these kids are saying. It's fucked up and it's gonna continue to be fucked up unless everybody decides to stop being so goddamn scared and talk about how race is really working in this motherfucking country. Because those senators and representatives in SAE, those judges, the mayors who get to appoint the police chiefs, who then get to hire the police force, who do you think they're hiring? Do you think they're hiring a bunch of dude bros who would sing about hanging niggers from a tree? Or do you think they're hiring qualified minorities and qualified gays? What do you think is really going on? That's the problem here. Yeah, it's a bunch of assholes on a bus. Yeah, it's a bunch of kids, and maybe they're racist, and maybe they're not. But the point is that they have this attitude. They believe this thing, and they're going to carry that with them into their good-ass jobs, into their stable-ass marriages with girls who went to college and then resolved to do not shit else but be a housewife, and they're going to teach it onto their kids in their upper-middle-class homes in the middle of the goddamn suburbs in some red state, just like their parents did. So shut the fuck up talking to me about this ain't no big goddamn deal. And I cannot believe y'all had the nerve to embarrass me like this on a global goddamn scale. Be ashamed of your fucking selves.
So, back to the show. Morning, Joe.
So, yes, Morning Joe. What was that?
So, Morning Joe is apparently a show on MSNBC. Two of the hosts, one named Mika Brzezinski, white, lots of money for reasons. Joe.
All right.
Scarborough, I guess is the other one's name. They were talking about the SAE chant and the video and all of that. And basically took the typical white newscaster approach and decided to blame niggas. And this woman, Mika, pulled up, I guess, a quote from Waka Flocka, because Waka apparently declined to perform at University of Oklahoma after he saw the video.
Well, to be honest, SAE booked Waka, so Waka's performance was canceled, but whatever. I appreciate him making the statement regardless.
Okay. Either way. This woman brought up the lyrics and brought up the quote and basically said, like, if you look at every single song, I guess you call these that Waka Flocka's written.
Okay.
I've already talked about how disgusting.
That's racist.
How annoying it fucking is. It makes my skin crawl each and every time you O-face open your mouths on TV to talk about a rapper and you will just like say their name in this old, in like basically making a mockery out of them, out of their name, out of what they do for a living and try and say, oh, well, you know, these niggas ain't shit anyway, basically.
Right.
So Mika and Joe said, oh, you know, the lyrics are full of N-words, full of F-words. It's wrong. And he shouldn't be discussed with them. He should be discussed with himself is what she said. He said the kids that are buying hip hop or gangster rap, it's a white audience. And they hear this over and over. He I don't see this here, but he also, when I watched the video, he mentioned Empire, which I'm missing to read him right now. So, bitch, like,
white people so full of shit.
I wish that I could be at home, you know, getting my, but I'm here and that's fine. Either way, I would just like to go about it. Let's start from the beginning here.
All right.
While you are so steadfast in taking, while you're so dedicated in trying to take the spotlight off of these racist white kids on this bus and place the blame back on black people, as y'all like to do all the time, you're missing the point. First of all, this remix that they did, this "You Can Hang Up by the Tree, You'll Ever Draw With It," it's a fucking Happy If You Know It remix, bitch. It's not the Ignition remix. Niggas didn't teach that. It's a fucking racist version of one of the sweetest white ass songs in all of creation. You act, bitch, Waka Flocka didn't teach them this goddamn song. Neither did Jeezy. Neither did 2 Chainz. Neither did fucking Kanye West. It was some shit that even that fucking one of the students came forward and said was taught to us. It was required. Even other, I read that other students from different universities that are in SAE said they also know the chant and have known the chant, and it was required for them to chant that in order for them to even cross. I don't know if that's true or not, and I don't care. All I know is, regardless of all of that, Waka Flocka and his opinion on you white people be on that bus saying nigga ain't got shit to do with it. Waka Flocka is not the one who informed them about, he didn't talk to them about lynching. He didn't teach them the lyrics to this motherfucking song. That is a decision that they made on their own because they knew good and goddamn well that they would get away with it. And like you already said, these are kids who have learned that song from wherever the fuck and have been chanting that song for however long and don't have any problem doing it because they know they'll get away with it. And they also know they're going to put on them same suits and they'll turn into the politicians and the attorneys, yep, and they will turn into the motherfucking, you know, corporate America, the suits CEOs and all of those people, yep, that are making sure that niggas don't go nowhere and infect. They may just be dead and that's it. Mm-hmm. Like, they know that they can say this shit and they can get away with it. But for you to try and point the blame back at hip hop is so fucking whack. And then for you to have the nerve to try and pull up stats, talk about 70% of the audience or 70% of the viewers for Empire are white. Like 70% of Empire's audience are white people, as if to say, like,
so
we, you know, they're hearing all of this stuff from a certain place and, you know, it's so influential. And meanwhile, you're also trying to, you think I'm not catching the shade, but you're, mm-hmm, trying to say, oh, well, your little black ass show is only popular because white people are watching it. You know why white people are watching it? Because you all, even subconsciously, are so obsessed with blackness that you don't even realize you live for this shit. You live for the music that we listen to. Mm-hmm. You live for the fact that we have rhythm. You live for our fucking gold jewelry, bitch. You live for the fact that our hair can do all of these fantastic things and can stand up one way and can be dreadlocked without having to have mud in it. You live for all of, like, you live for blackness. You love our perspective. You look at Iggy Azalea. How could it possibly feel for you to be the whole entire fresh white woman who came to this country and was a part, submerged herself in black culture, and black people hate your ass so much that white people think it's cool. They can just go on their little sports shows. Am I lying?
No.
White people can go on their little sports shows and they can say, Nick Young, if a dolphin tried to kill you, then call it even because your girlfriend's trying to kill hip hop. You don't know anything about hip hop. Have you ever listened to Illmatic, bitch? Have you ever heard of Outkast?
No,
you don't know anything about hip hop.
No,
it's just funny. It's cool to you because Iggy is so disliked by black people that white people dislike her too. Even if you aren't obsessed with blackness, which you probably are, again, even subconsciously, your kids are. Those same kids who are probably talking about you can hang them from a tree, mm-hmm, but he can't fuck with me or whatever the shit is. Them same kids are rushing home to watch Taraji P. Henson act the fuck out of Cookie Line. Them same bitches are talking about Fleek this and eyebrows that and following all these niggas on Vine. They're listening to motherfucking
and inviting
Kanye.
The football players to the house after the game. Oh, niggas are fine then. Oh, like, niggas are great and dandy then.
Like, you motherfuckers are so obsessed with everything black, and you're terrified by it. That's why they can never... Who the fuck even wants to join your little pissy-ass, rinky-dink-ass organization besides some fellow racist? Are there any niggas that are like, hey...
There have been
love.
Two black people to pledge that fraternity at the entire history of OU.
I don't give two fucks. I don't care about any of that shit. You're not going to come on here and try again to shit on black people when you motherfuckers are obsessed with us. Right. You just told the whole... You just said 70% of the money. If that shit is even true, 70% of the viewers are watching this hip-hop-ass show with all of these niggas talking about homosexuality as it affects the black family. Talking about mental illness as it affects the black family. And also... Terrence Howard said on that same show, bitch, if you want Empire to be yours, get rid of that white bitch you married. You motherfuckers are still watching this shit. You're still watching this shit because you're intrigued. You love hip hop music. You loved rock. That's why you took it. You love hip hop. That's why you're taking it. You love jazz. That's why you took that shit too. You love dreadlocks. That's why you want it. That's why you want to be a part of the fucking natural hair movement too, bitch. You love blackness. You love the black perspective. You love everything about color. So don't, at the same time, while you motherfuckers are acting a goddamn mess, while your fucking kids are acting a goddamn mess, don't try and take a piece of that obsession and turn it inside out and say, oh, well, look at all these N-words he said in there. If that motherfucker, if he wants to say nigga, if a nigga wants to reclaim the word nigga and talk about what it's like in the street that they grew up in or the environment that they fucking grew up in, that's their goddamn business. And your little lily white ass kids who have their trust funds that don't know shit about that are obsessed with it fucking anyway. And they should be. Blackness darkness is fucking magnificent. It's amazing. I personally live for it. So I understand you loving black people. Mm-hmm. I understand you looking up the lyrics of this same rapper whose name you are laughing at. Right. Because you are fascinated by it. You don't even understand why black people could be so upset by the word nigga and still say it. You're that far behind. Niggas been saying niggas for decades and you're still trying to figure out what reclaiming that word means and how that shit works. Shut your whole entire white mouths. You speak to those kids, bitch, and you talk to whoever the fuck else is out here spewing and passing on their racism to the next generation, and you talk to them about why that shit is goddamn ignorant instead of talking about some rap music that you allegedly don't fucking listen to, that your fucking kids are piling onto their fucking iPods, bitch. Thank you. That's what you fucking do. That's what the fuck you do. Because whether you know how to say Waka Faka Flame or know why he says fuck all the time, your kids love it. And they don't even know why, bitch. So shut your fucking mouth.
Not to mention, white people have never, ever, ever in the history of ever asked a nigga for permission to say nigga before they said nigga. Do you really think white people say nigga because rappers do it in songs? Are you that stupid?
If Kanye West and Jay-Z can say niggas in Paris, then I don't understand. Listen.
If you don't respect yourselves, then why do you expect white people to respect you?
It's 2050. Oh, black on black crime. Like,
that's how stupid y'all sound.
Like, it's 2015, my nigga. I'm not doing this shit with you dumb motherfuckers no more. Again, G-O-O-G-L-E. She's right there 24 hours, 7 goddamn days. Ask her any goddamn question you want to with your dumb ass. I'm not playing this game with you no more. I'm not talking to you about rap music and why niggas can say nigga and your kids can't. I'm not talking to you about why reverse racism isn't a fucking real thing. I'm not talking to you about any of this bullshit at all any fucking more. Nope. I'm not talking to you about why niggas don't see it from Macklemore or Iggy Azalea. I'm not talking to you about any of this shit at all anymore. But what you are going to do, bitch, if you're not going to stay on task, if you're not going to hold people responsible for their bullshit, if you're not going to treat situations like this like you have some goddamn sense, then get your white ass off of national TV. Stop working in communications. Don't communicate to anybody because you clearly don't know how to. Shut your ass up and fix your hair. You look a mess.
All right. So I think that wraps up the read this week.
Oh, wait. We didn't even mention the hashtag. Because again, black what people, hashtag? This is how brilliant. Black people are so like fed up / accustomed to white ignorance at this point.
It's actually funny.
That they just, like, again, jokes. So the hashtag at this point is rap albums that caused slavery.
Oh, right. Since black people saying nigga causes white people to say nigga, then clearly rap music.
There's Late Emancipation, the Martial Law LP, Genocide and Juice.
Really?
Get Free or Die Trying. The New Classic. Cream, Caucasians Rule Everything
Bitch,
Around
Me. Bitch,
not
the new classic.
Brenda's Got a Baby by the Overseer.
Bye.
Slavonia. You know, and they're not
y'all.
Even done.
I love y'all.
So this is what we have to do at this point is just like, it's just show you how goddamn dumb you bitches sound. Rap music is to blame for your goddamn ignorance while you motherfuckers are steady trying to figure out how to take that shit from us too. So 30 years, 40 years from now, you can act like niggas never had that either. Shut the fuck up. Don't say nothing else, bitch. Be quiet. And that's my read.
All right. So thank you, Kid Fury, for that read this week. I actually did not know that about Morning Joe. So also shout out to everybody who sent me information about this story. Shout out to the people I know on campus who are doing work to help diffuse tensions, because as you can expect, it is kind of, you know, uncomfortable on campus. Very thick, you know, things are not. Things are not going well. And I mean, and honestly, this is something that's been a long time coming. There was racist problems, you know, a million fucking years ago, and there's racist problems now. It's good for shit like this to come out, actually. It's great for shit like this to come out, because it's never going to get any better until y'all have real ass conversations about what's going on. So I'm glad it happened, but it's embarrassing as fuck.
you know, it is what it is. And it is great that it happened. And it's actually fantastic that we live in an age with social media. You know, I usually don't say things like that because, oh, girl. But you can't, like, you have to stand up in your ignorance at this point. And it's not to say that you're, you know, going to be held 100% accountable, because really, you can be racist as long as you're racist in private. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and no one's, you, that's your right. Listen, I don't want you to stop being racist. Please hate niggas all you want to. I just want you to not act like the rest of us have to give a fuck about your respect.
I would like for you to stop being racist.
I don't want your goddamn respect. I don't care about it.
I would like for you to stop being racist. However, I understand that it is like a deep-rooted ignorance that is just like, it's almost like it's not going anywhere, because white people have, like, racist white people have, like, scurried off into the shadows with their racism at this point. So they just have to get caught. Like, you have to have an old V. Stiviano or somebody in your life who is literally, like, putting you on blast verbatim all of the racism that you're saying. And then all the white people will do will be like, I am very sorry that you niggers feel so bad about it. And, you know, whole lot of coke and my bad. And speaking then they go on to be fine, you know, and I mean, that's just like, that is literally the fucking country that we're living in, but you have to be held fucking accountable.
Yeah.
And I read somewhere that someone said, white people, I don't know if this was like a meme that some fake poet made up or someone actually said this, but white people are so terrified by black people because they don't understand how we have not set this whole entire shit on fire by now.
And like, that's why they're still acting
like
nice.
They're waiting for the moment that we're just like, okay, you know what? Fuck the all 50 states. Like,
did you hear about the mentally ill man in Atlanta who was bucket ass naked, so clearly unarmed, and they still shot and killed him? Mentally ill, naked. They save, I saw this shit on Tumblr. They save fucking animals. If a fucking peacock escapes the zoo and wanders into the suburbs, they will call animal control.
And they,
and will take the utmost care to make sure that animal gets back where it goes.
Oh, they'll offer it a Sprite.
A naked black man suffering from a mental illness is dead. Why? Why? Naked. Why? You trying to tell me the police don't know how to subdue a naked fucking man? And y'all wonder? Yeah, I see. Yeah. Y'all should be wondering why we ain't set this shit off yet. Personally, I wonder that shit too. I don't fucking get it because it's long overdue.
So there's that. That's three.
So yeah, thanks so much for listening to all that.
I had wigs and they needed to be removed.
I mean, yeah, no, I see. And I'm not mad about it. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and Twitter. This is The Read. Log on to thisistheread.com to see links to every episode and bios and things of that nature. Do you have any announcements this week? You do. Yes, you do. In your text messages, you have an announcement.
I have an announcement in my text messages, Charlie.
You do have an announcement.
It's right here in my text messages.
You have forgot, but then I can't remind you.
So, yeah, listen, we're coming to Memphis, Tennessee, the University of Memphis to be exact, on April 2nd.
La, 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 la.
I've never been to Memphis.
No, you haven't?
I think that's where K. Michelle is from, but I'm not going to hold that against
you. No, don't hold that against, well, don't hold that against the city. I mean, there are great people who
come
to
Memphis. I'm super excited.
Yeah, no, that K. Michelle, we all fuck up, but.
Also, we'll be back down in South Florida. I'm so excited. We're going to Coral Springs, to be exact, on April 10th. So, if you're down in the 305-954-786 area, I'm coming home for a
yes.
bit.
Yes. And tickets to that show, I think, are going to be available on Friday.
Yeah.
So check out, I think, thereadfl.com. Don't hold me to that.
We'll put it somewhere. So
yeah, we'll
put
it on our website for sure. The Memphis show. We'll have some more details about how you can come to that a little bit later on. And I think that is it for me.
Make sure that you go to my YouTube.
Oh yeah,
things are happening over there.
Forgot about that.
Things like The Green Experiment, which is our new web series.
It is, and it's us with our good friends Dustin and Asante, who y'all know and love. Shout out to Asante. He got recognized twice on our way to the studio. I was like, come on, bitch.
Worked.
Like, all right. I mean, I'm not mad.
And his birthday is before we do the next show.
So yes. Happy birthday, Tay. We're turning up this weekend in your honor. We love you and you know it.
So, yeah. Thanks again to everybody who came out to the 2-year anniversary
yes,
show.
Yes, we had so much fun with y'all. That was dope.
Yeah, I think that that's just about it. I'm going to go home and catch this Empire, you know, me and 70% of these white people.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to catch up on Blackish, which I missed and love.
Oh, we're doing a blooper episode tonight.
Ah, yes!
I love bloopers.
I just, I love that show. So Empire and these networks need to figure out a way for these shows to coexist.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that another day, sweetie. We're all out of time now.
All right. So I guess we'll... Oh,
we'll see y'all.
The acronym
oh, Lord.
Is going to be
okay.
FYF.
Okay.
Pretty easy.
No, I'm not gonna guess.
Fuck your fraternity.
Yes.
All that you stand for, all of your little pillars, whatever the fuck.
They were founded at the University of Alabama in 1856.
They could have been founded at the University of a dead man's scrotum. I don't give a fuck where they were founded. Fuck them and their entire lineage right. and their forefathers.
I'm just saying, it's the, clearly it was like the KKK on campus.
That's fine.
Six of their eight founders fought in the Confederate War. For the Confederacy. Like, they were born out of racism. It's all racist. Fuck okay. every last one of y'all.
So FYF, we're done. We'll see you next week.